From the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippines, Manila, comprised of 7,107 islands in Southeast Asia, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. I bid you good day, good evening, good morning, whatever the case may be where you are. For the record, where I am presently, it's a few minutes after 1 o'clock in the afternoon. However, my room is darkened down in the appropriate manner to conduct a show of this sort, Coast to Coast AM. And I urge you to join me as your evening, morning, or afternoon progresses. We truly are a worldwide affair. What we're really doing here is a miracle, and it's kind of like time travel. It's Monday, where I am, and in the city in which I'm located, Manila, the traffic on Monday is just absolute. Actually, every day it's terrible, but Monday particularly terrible. I have, here in Manila, we have a number system so that you have to pick one day during the week when you cannot drive, and my one day is Monday. This is a day that I cannot drive in the metro area. Now, it's all according to license plates, kind of like some cities in the U.S., actually. My webcam shot tonight is very much like the one last night, except from the opposite direction. And I got a lot of very, very interesting responses. We were talking about reality on yesterday's program. What is reality? Well, let me tell you, I put up a shot of the my living room here, A, for everybody to see it, but B, just as sort of a test, and had people describe what they saw, and I got hundreds of emails, hundreds of them describing faces that were seen in the rugs, and oh, you just wouldn't believe what I got. So, reality is such an individual by perception thing. We're going to have to do more exploration of this. And speaking of more exploration, during this hour, we're going to change things up a little bit. During this hour, I'm going to be taking open line calls. So if any of you out there have had a conscious experience involving another dimension, then I want you to pick up the line and call. If not, just go ahead and hang up, and we'll do regular open lines some other time. But tonight, if you would, please, only if you have had a conscious transport into some other dimension, short or long, I'd like to hear from you. You'll be getting the numbers toward the bottom of the hour. Many of you, of course, already have them. So anyway, the webcam shot tonight is sort of taken from the opposite direction toward the kitchen from the living area. A lot of people curious about where I live over here, and I'll try and get different photographs up to sort of give you an idea. Anyway, that's opposite direction. Now, on the coasttocoastam.com website right now, we have something that somebody sent me, and I guess it's been posted previously. I don't know, but oh my God, you've got to take a look. It's a space shuttle mission in which, as they do so many times, they had a camera pointed down at the Earth. Now, a number of people looked at this video, which you can look at just by going up, and there's no way in hell that's space debris. It's too big, it's too far from the camera, and there's too many of them. If you want to sit there and say it's all space debris, well, go right ahead. But I would urge you to have a seat in front of your monitor and take a look at this video. It's directly from NASA. It's unmodified, unchanged. There was a little bit of zooming in attempted, but I'm telling you right now, this is not space debris. Have a look. See what you think. Report to me. And by the way, in terms of reporting to me, you can do so. You can email me at the good old email addresses that you always have. That would be artbell@aol.com and artbell@mindspring.com. Once again, artbell, artbell@aol.com or mindspring.com. The Mindspring is the larger mailbox. Looking around the world, a little bit plane crash, wrong runway, Lexington, Kentucky, 49 dead. And apparently, the pilot tried to take off on a runway that was 1,000 feet short for the CRJ-100 regional jet that he was trying to take off with. And so, of course, it didn't work, and he crashed, but I understand about 1,000 feet short. Now, Tropical Storm Ernesto really behaving strangely. Yesterday, at about this time when I spoke to you, Ernesto was projected to go storming up through the Gulf, centered on about New Orleans. Now, within moments of my saying that to you yesterday, they changed it. Now it looks like it's going to be taking a trip up the western side of Florida. Now, whether it will intensify, I think it will somewhat. Between now and whenever it might strike land, who knows? Whether it will actually keep this track or not, who knows? They seem to be having a lot of trouble forecasting Ernesto. We'll see. But from the track yesterday to the track today, and the forecasts of intensification yesterday versus what we see today, they're just having a really rough time trying to track this one. In Iraq, the usual, a wave of bomb attacks and shootings swept Iraq Sunday, killing dozens of people despite a massive security operation in the capital and appeals from the prime minister there. Hezbollah, interesting admission from Hezbollah. Hezbollah leader Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah said in a TV interview aired Sunday, well, he wouldn't have ordered the capture of two Israeli soldiers. Could he have known that it would have ever led to such a war? Guerrillas from the Islamic militant group killed three Israeli soldiers, seized two more in a cross-border raid July 12th that sparked 34 days of fighting, and now he says, well, I never would have done it if I'd known we'd had a war like that. After his first look inside the nerve center of the U.S. military defense system, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld on Sunday sounded a note of caution about expectations that interceptors poised in underground silos there might work in the event of a missile attack by North Korea. There are apparently 10 silos there that house single 54-foot-long missile interceptors, and he's got some concern that should North Korea launch and we launch against them, we would not have a whole lot of luck hitting them. Doesn't give you a lot of confidence, does it? New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says, you know, Ray Nagin really shouldn't say much anymore. Anyway, he says he's sorry he used the term, and I quote, hole in the ground to describe the World Trade Center site. Said, I wish I would have basically said that it was an undeveloped site, which it is, he said Sunday on Meet the Press. Hole in the ground, huh? Well, there were some who were saying that of his city after the hurricane. I'll tell you what, we'll take a brief break and look at some of the, as Paul would say, rest of the news. I'm watching once again the video that you can all watch on the coasttocoastam.com website, and I'll tell you something. If that's space debris, I'm a monkey's uncle. Well, actually, you know, I might be related to a monkey. Samsung, way down the line there, Samsung has a patent to use the ionosphere, our ionosphere, in a new way. The points in the patent brief sound very much like the HARP project in Alaska. It uses multiple HF, that's high-frequency signals, at huge effective radiated power to heat the ionosphere, producing various effects for physics research, they say. However, one of the side effects not much discussed outside of classified circles would be the ability to use the heating to generate VLF, that's very low frequency signals, of great interest to the United States Navy for sub-communication worldwide. Now, it is notable, at the very least, that the United States Navy ELF system, you know, the big one up in Michigan they had, appears to have gone inactive, coincident with the full activation of HARP. Now, let's think about that a little bit. The only real means they had, albeit slow, of communicating with subs under the water was the Michigan installation, which was able to talk to submarines underwater. Now they have activated HARP, which would have application to talk to submarines, and they have deactivated the Michigan installation. Highly coincidental, I would say. Strange goings on follow discussions about potential UFO Evidence. That's a headline. Publisher and author Experience Interference and Other Phenomena Since Discovering Strange Images in UFO Footage Related to a New Book. Econova, a small independent publishing house on the shores of Vancouver Island, B.C., has recently acquired the manuscript of an eyewitness account pertaining to physical UFO sightings and telepathic contact. The book, Eye to the Sky, A Paranormal Odyssey by Paula Thorncroft, recounts the author's amazingly frequent and vivid interactions with both craft and ET beings. But it is the footage that she's admitted to substantiate her manuscript that seems to have caused a stir already, and it has not yet even been released. However, a couple of hackers got in and apparently got a look-see. It's about 25 to 30 minutes total. Filmed over two consecutive evenings, the last 5 minutes are the most amazing, revealing not only a large, non-circular craft, but objects that morph from solid to light-based, from one representation to another. We are in the process of procuring professional analysis of these images before making the footage available to bona fide researchers, but we're hoping to reveal the most profound and captivating images on the cover of the book itself, which is due for publication December 26th, 2006. Dark matter. Astronomers tell us that the mysterious substance, we talk about it a lot here on Coast to Coast AM, called dark matter, is the main substance in the universe, but we simply cannot find it. Same sort of thing that quantum physicists say about parallel universes, talking about those tonight, or brain worlds. Worlds that contain a different number of dimensions from ours. Astronomers can detect the presence of dark matter by the way gravity behaves around it, but they now have finally new evidence that it might really exist. Dark matter and normal matter have been wrenched apart by the tremendous collision of two large clusters of galaxies, providing the strongest support yet for the evidence of dark matter. Astronomer Anthony Gonzalez says, quote, "It's the most direct evidence that we have thus far for dark matter. Can actually see the separation between where the bulk of the matter is and the normal everyday matter is." The discovery made with NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory and other telescopes. Somebody writes to me that I've heard on the show many times before your mention of shadow animals. That's right, we've talked about them. This might be a stupid question, no such thing here. But could there be shadow insects? Every now and then I'll see one, a fly, a spider, something small out of the corner of my eye, quickly look to see nothing there directly. Could be my eyes playing tricks on me, but I was just curious about what you thought. Thought you might be interested in this. I've got feelings about things from time to time, and one that really helped me out big time. I was at a red light in a hurry. Soon as the green came, I planned on stepping on the gas and going. However, as the green light turned, I got this extreme urge to scratch an itch on my neck. Took the time to scratch, not go off right away, thank God. Just as I was scratching, a truck flew right through the red light. Obviously, I'd be dead if I hadn't stopped. I suppose sometimes the human brain assists us in that manner. I thought it kind of interesting. Here's another listener who says, "Art, there are some amazing children these days. My girlfriend's three-year-old daughter came up to me as I was sitting on the couch and said, quote, go call your uncle. And I said, what? She said, go call your uncle. I laughed it off as some crazy thing she had in her child's mind. Went home. The phone rang. A voicemail informed me quickly that my aunt had died minutes ago. Art, you tell me. Well, I can't, of course. So there's more in this world than we can explain, and one of those things is certainly what we were hearing yesterday. And by the way, Whitley Strieber will be here in the next hour, and he'll be here for, I think, 3 hours of the program. I'm really looking forward to that. He's got a new book called The Grays. If anybody in this world is qualified to write a book about The Grays, it's Whitley Strieber. I talked to him one time previously about it. We'll get another opportunity tonight. Once again, I want to urge those of you on the line to do me a favor. And if you are not calling about a trip or an experience with another dimension, a conscious experience. No, I had a dreams, but conscious travel to another dimension. Simply hang up and we'll catch you another time. If you have had such an experience, stay right where you are. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening, sir.
My name is Mike, and I'm calling from Boonville, Missouri. I'm originally from Rhode Island, been out here almost 7 years. This happened just about 2 weeks ago. I was sitting in my chair, and all of a sudden, I saw myself standing at a pond fishing.
Really?
And I caught a really nice bass, but the bass got away.
Yeah, right.
Oh, this is true.
They always get away. No, I'm with you. I'm sorry for laughing. It's,
I know.
Always
this
get
probably
away,
is you know. Another fish story, the one that got away. But this is but at the same time, I saw myself standing at the pond all disgusted.
It got away. Here's the thing, though. I mean, all right, look. If I was one moment sitting in a chair and then, boom, like that, the next moment I was standing there with a fishing pole in front of a lake, I would be so freaked out, I'd drop the fishing pole and probably faint on the ground. I mean, how did you avoid that kind of shock?
Well, this kind of stuff happens to me all my life. All my life.
So you're used to it.
I am. Yeah, well, back August 16th, 1999 at 8:30 p.m. You can look this up. It was in the Woonsocket call. It made it at some other date in the Woonsocket call in the month of August in 1999.
What is that, your local paper?
Out there in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, yeah.
Okay.
We had spotted a mother-sized UFO. This thing did unbelievable things, bouncing up in the air, defying gravity. I mean, it was incredible. Incredible. And what validated the whole thing is that we didn't even know, but there was a police officer that was searching the area, but our eyes were fixed on the sky, and there were people that lived up in this apartment, an elderly couple. They came out, and they were looking at it. None of us even knew the police officer was there. And all of a sudden, he popped his head up out of nowhere, and he said, "Hey, what are you folks doing here?" And we all said, "Officer, we're looking at that up there in the sky." Mm-hmm. And he looked up. He got on his walkie-talkie. He said, "Lieutenant, you're not going to believe this, but I'm looking at a UFO, and there's people all around here." And then all of a sudden, the street got crowded with police officers and people from all over the place watching this thing for a good 15-minute show.
All right. Do you think that your experience with the UFO is in any way perhaps related to your ability to move into other areas of reality?
Absolutely. I'll tell you why, because I'm also a musician. I'm a former truck driver. And the things that I've seen out there and listening to, I was listening to your show a few years ago, and I guess you had a Hopi Indian prophet.
That's right.
And he talked about some kind of a special mountain lion, that if that mountain lion was spotted, that this was another prophecy to come to pass.
And
I was in Illinois, and I drink a lot of spring water, and I had to go to the bathroom. And this was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I went to pull over. There was nothing around, so I went to pull over to jump off the truck, and my headlights shined on this cat-like figure that just stood up from behind the embankment, and it looked like it had a kill of some sort because his face looked kind of bloody, or her face. And I said to myself, I never saw a cat like this in my entire life. It looked bigger than a mountain lion.
And you think it was what the Hopi spoke of?
Well, it was... like about a month later, when I was listening to your program with the Hopi Indian prophet, he started describing the cat that I saw a month before.
Could have been a coincidence, of course, but interesting. And certainly your ability to move into other areas of reality, or other realities, I guess would be a better way to put it, is also very, very interesting. And I really think from the number of emails that I'm getting on this subject, and it's absolutely what I'd call a landslide. I mean, a real landslide. People, this is not the kind of, it's kind of like UFOs in a way. You know, I don't want to report one of those things. Do you? No. I don't want to report going to another reality, because that's, you know, under normal circumstances, if it's not coast to coast AM, it's liable to get you locked up somewhere. And the nice young men in the white coats assisting you and all the rest of it. But I think there are a lot of people who have these experiences, who are able to move in and out of what we call our present reality. Just simply move in and out of it. some at will, some suddenly shocked and finding themselves in a different locale, people dressed in a different way, perhaps even a different time. There's no way to know. But there's a very great deal of this going on. We've stumbled over things like this in the past on Coast to Coast AM, but this one is a real beaut. And I'm telling you right now, I'm getting literally hundreds of emails from people who either accidentally or intentionally are able to move out of what we would term our present reality. And if you want another great kick, you should sit here and read some of the emails that I've been receiving on the simple description of the picture that I put up yesterday. Oh my, how reality varies out there. From Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell. This is almost Matrix-like stuff. I'm telling you right now that while everybody would just sort of assumes that they're seeing the same thing, we're looking at A, but we're not all necessarily seeing A. We're seeing part of A and a little bit of B and C and D, and some people are seeing on further down the alphabet. I can tell you right now, you should see some of the responses just to that photograph that we took yesterday. In a moment, we'll explore others who have explored elsewhere. Pat, who does not give a location for writing this fast blast, says, "Hey Art, how do we know if our experience is reality or a dream? If it looks like a duck quacks like it, is it?" Pat, I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder more and more. If you'd been here to see the varied descriptions received of the simple photograph I put up yesterday. And through the years, of course, we've had a lot of people arguing almost unarguable facts that one does begin to wonder if everybody sees or perceives the same reality, and I think the answer is we don't. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Mary from Ohio.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. It's so exciting talking to you, and I'm so glad you're talking about this topic because I thought I was going crazy.
No.
This has happened to me three distinct times that I can recall, and there's no unidentified aliens, and there's no spaceships. Mm-hmm. But what it is almost like walking through a shimmer in time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's daytime, and I can be looking at something, and I'm looking at what seems to be a giant Gila monster that is sitting basking in the sun. And when I shake my head because I don't believe I'm seeing it, it goes away.
Wow. How long does it last? Very quick or
very
what?
Very quickly. It's very quickly. It's like, it reminds me of that old science fantasy book, A Wrinkle in Time, because that's what it mm-hmm. feels like.
Yeah.
It feels like I've gotten stuck in a part of time.
Well, that may be exactly what it is, Mary. I can't believe all the emails I'm getting. Exactly the same sort of thing. Some longer, some shorter, Mary, but all sort of the same type of thing. And so, you know, it's like we've fallen into something again here. This is something that, have you talked to many people about it?
No, because I know people will think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
And when I heard you talking about this last week, it's like, oh my gosh, I must not be the only person experiencing this.
Not by a long shot.
Very reassuring. I thank you so much, Mr. Bell.
Mary, thank you for calling and take care. So there you've got it. I'm telling you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails, just like the story you got from Mary, or more extensive. Now, we've really stumbled into something. There's no question about it. I'm not sure exactly where it's going to go, but it's not going to be for lack of exploration that we halt. Another wild card line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hi, this is Jason from Arcata, California, Humboldt.
Yes, Jason.
How are you doing, Art?
Okay, Jason.
Well, I've been a fan since 93, and this is the first time I've gotten a chance to talk to you, and ironically, the topic is really quite apropos for my story for you.
Fire away.
Well, you know, I've also always been a really interested person in hallucinogenics and where that actually takes you. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Stanislav Grof, but he wrote
I know the name.
A book, LSD Psychotherapy. And about 3 years ago, I had electrocuted my hand. So I had seen a bunch of specialists. I couldn't move any of the fingers on my left hand. I couldn't move my wrist. And there were really no answers from any doctors on what I could do.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, in the after maybe a couple days of not being able to move my hand, maybe a week, I ingested some DMT, which I had done before and experienced several altered realities in that time. But on this specific occasion, I felt myself being pulled literally into another reality, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And in that reality, I as soon as I felt it, I went into my bedroom, laid down, closed my eyes, saw amazing things, indescribable images. And after a few minutes of that, I remember being on what seemed like a surgical table surrounded by what seemed like a bunch of grays.
Really?
And I had no verbal conversation with any of these entities, but I have a distinct, I remember this like I'm talking to you now. I mean, this was for sure not a dream, not anything else.
Right, I've got you. And I take it that after you returned from this trip, your hand was once again functioning.
Absolutely. 100%. After about 20 minutes, I actually remember one of the grays actually touching my arm where it was hurt on the underside of the forearm. I recall his hand going through my hand after about 20 minutes. I had a bunch of people in my house, some friends and family. I got up, went into the other room, and my hand worked 100%. Saw a doctor the next day, and just it couldn't be explained.
Okay, Jason, I appreciate the story, and that's exactly what I was after. Now, who is to say, and we'll get to talk to Whitley Strieber at the top of the hour, but who's to say, in quotes, the grays are not from another dimension? Who is to say that the grays are from some far-off star, light, many, many hundreds of light years away or whatever? Who's to say they're simply not from another dimension? And who is to say that DMT was not the transportation device that got him where he needed to go? East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Mark from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hello, Mark.
And I exist in, it could be another dimension or a universe, like anywhere from a split second up to 10 seconds in advance of the future. And one time this was proven out amongst all the people who knew me at a local carnival. We had a gambling table, and I sat there for about a good 3 hours telling people when to bet and when not to bet.
Mm-hmm.
And we took them to task. I mean, just wiped the table. And everybody was like, how do you know? How do you know? And it was a simple dice game. But it was.
So what did you tell them when they said, how do you know? What did you say?
I just said, I know. I just know. It's like I knew what the throw of the dice was going to be. It was a simple, like 50-50 chance. You know, you roll the dice. Well, you put your money down.
I know how it works. I lived in Nevada for a lot of years. Well, you'd be a popular guy in Nevada, no question about that. Another example, somebody with precognitive abilities, not far into the future, 10, 15, 20 seconds, whatever. That's about all you'd need in a situation like that, huh? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. It's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you. My name is Linda, and I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. What makes my experience really unique, I happen to be blind from birth. And my physical sight situation, I've only been able to see light out of one eye. And so what makes this really weird, between the ages of 4 and 7, I would be awakened in the middle of the night, and I would see things, lights, beings of light out of both eyes. It started out, the first time it happened, I would just see lights. And, of course, I didn't know what I was, you know, experiencing. And I ran to my mom out in the living room. Mommy, mommy, I see bugs in my bed. Hmm. And, of course, that's, you know, she confirmed that, no, there were no bugs. There were no lights.
And you're sure it wasn't a dream, just a bad dream.
Right, exactly. But then when it kept on happening, first it was as if a presence would show me shapes. Like first the little dot of light would be about the size of a dime, and then it would get bigger and be the size of my pillow and more intense in quality. I never have seen color, so I don't. It looked like sunlight, except more intense. And then gradually, as I got older, I would see beings that were made out of light.
Linda, do you think that you were? Do you think you were seeing these with some kind of actual suddenly restored vision, or do you think you were seeing them in your mind?
No, I was definitely seeing them in my mind. It was like I was looking on a TV screen. It was almost as if I was being shown them from some presence or being. And it's like they would show me buildings, except the walls were really thin. And it was as if they were made out of something other than, you know, concrete or brick or wood or, you know, it was really thin.
And this ended at age 7?
Right.
Do you have any idea why you were being shown all of this?
Well, actually, a psychic later on suggested that I might have had lifetimes on other planets and that I was probably not from Earth. That is, my soul was not from Earth, even though I was experiencing this lifetime on Earth, and that I might have been having some other planetary experience. And I have had a lot of paranormal kinds of experiences this lifetime, and maybe there might be some other life recall.
Mm-hmm. It's a possibility. All right, Linda, thank you very much. All right, that's, again, exactly what we're talking about. And you see, once you open the lines to something like this, and you realize that there have been so many instances of this on Coast to Coast AM. Shadow People were another incident very much like this that just opened the floodgates. And this one also has opened the floodgates. Interdimensional travel, reality, it's all sort of mixed up together. In other words, how many people are actually seeing other realities? How often do we compare what we consider to be a reality, as in the photograph that I put up yesterday? How often do we compare what we're seeing? Well, we just don't do that, do we? Or if we do, it's a very simple, oh yeah, I see that. Well, do we really see the same thing? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Cass from California.
Hi, Cass.
And first, I want to give you a mazel tov on your marriage.
Thank you.
Okay, first I should say that during the late 70s and through most of the 90s, I saw a hypnotist, and at the beginning mainly for pain control, and I learned quickly that she was also a psychic.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I'd had a lot of experience while she was alive with, we used to call it going under, being hypnotized, mm-hmm. either from her or a tape, although it's all self-hypnosis, because you won't be hypnotized if you don't wish to be.
That's right.
And, I was going through a period. It was after she had, I'd had all kinds of out-of-body experiences when she was alive, always from sleep, although I'd remember a lot of them. But I had just, after she died, I was going through a horrible period. My son and I were just dropped right into terrible poverty, and something came up for him that looked like if it worked, we could be like multimillionaires. And I was for the first time in about 10 years, I was in a very relaxed state. I was just reading in bed, and mm-hmm. suddenly, this had never happened before, while awake, out of the blue, I went under hypnotically, or some people might have said I just fell. I wasn't sleeping, though. And I was in another place, And as I was moving around, I have to tell you this, too, about I'm a smoker, and my hypnotist, who I came to call my psychic, my spiritual advisor, really wanted me to quit smoking. And I did do it in the 70s, but I was back to smoking in the 90s. And I had also read in Ruth Montgomery many years before that her channeler had kept telling her to quit smoking because it was so much harder after you died or it went to the other side. Okay, so I'm...
You mean harder to quit or
yes.
harder... You,
it's
you
harder
mean they've got? To... You mean they've got cigarettes on the other side?
Well, you can't... You still have the desire, but you can't smoke.
I don't mean to... Be, oh, my God.
You can't get over
Oh, I see.
Desire.
All right, so when you get over the... I see. So there are no cigarettes on the other
I
side.
Guess not. And,
but you carry the habit over with you. That's very depressing to hear. All right, anyway, your story.
Okay, so I was suddenly in another place, and I saw on a table a package that was red, and I immediately knew, even though I was not smoking this type at the time, that it was Marlboro.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached my hand out to pick up the package to get a cigarette, but my hand went through it.
Oh, brother.
That's part of it. I guess that's the main one of the main reasons why it's harder to quit afterward. And then... That was.
I mean, that's even worse. The pack is there, but your hand goes through it.
That's
so the cigarettes
right.
are there, but you can't. Oh, brother.
Yeah, and then pretty soon afterward, I was back to myself. That was the main thing I remembered from.
All right. Well, we'll have to hold it there. But that's a gee whiz one for sure. And I'm going to have to think that one over. Now, I have not. By the way, there are a lot of questions about it. I have not totally quit smoking. I have cut. Down to about one-tenth of what I was smoking, for those who are curious. I've had a lot of questions about that. At least one-tenth of what I had previously. I was a chain smoker. There was no question about it. And I'm down to about a tenth of that, and maybe less. So there you have it, those who are asking. Again, by the way, I want to note that Denny's is sponsoring the first hour of the program. I think it's so appropriate. They're a 24-hour-a-day restaurant, and I'm so very glad to have them sponsoring the first hour of the program here on the weekends. I think it's really cool. I want to acknowledge one more thing, too, because at the top of the hour, we're going to have Whitley on, and away we will go into the grays. And that is, yesterday, apparently, I had somebody fast blast this to me, but yesterday, apparently, I was awarded the honor of being one of the 25 greatest talk show hosts of all time. Now, I've been on the talkers list of you know, top 100 talk show hosts or whatever it is that they've had in the past years, many times. But this certainly would be a first, one of the top 25 of all time, actually about number 12. And I don't know, I felt that was, I looked it up when I got off the air, and I thought that was indeed a big honor. Let's go to, I think, Claremont, California, and say hello. You're on the air.
Hey, Art, this is Aries from Claremont.
Yes, Aries.
And I had an experience when I was 9 years old. I was in my room playing with Legos when all of a sudden the room went completely white and an entity mm-hmm. was in front of me. Even though I couldn't see him, I knew he was there. And he asked me if I wanted to go look at some neat stuff, you know. So I wasn't afraid or anything. I said, sure. So anyways, all of a sudden we were in outer space and traveling around the universe, looking at all these like supernovas and galaxies and clusters and, you know, all that stuff. And basically, he was showing me around stuff that looked exactly like the Hubble pictures and stuff. But there was no sense of motion, no sense of being anywhere.
And you're sure you're certain you were awake, Aries? This was
oh, yeah.
not a dream. Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then as he you know, as he brought me back, he said, same old Aries, you know, always you know, try anything and not thinking first, you know, and never did figure out what that meant. But I ran screaming to my mom's work trying to tell her what happened, you know, and she was real busy and didn't want to hear it, you know, but I've thought of this every day of my life since that day, and it was like 1973.
Well, listen, buddy, I guess all I can offer you is the obvious information, if you've been listening tonight, that you're not alone, that that this is happening to a lot of people out there, and that we've really stumbled into something significant. If you could look at the lines right now, they're all packed like little sardines in there. So we're going to spend more time on this topic. But the subject of reality may be the Matrix, but particularly reality and trips from here, fast, very quick trips, more times than not, from this reality to another reality. We'll bring that subject up again, believe me. From Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell.